Welcome to 216, a link to the past randomizer podcast. I am your host, Fear Agent. Welcome to season number 5 and happy new year to everyone. It's been a minute. Been a minute since I've done this. But huge shout outs to Tracy M and Moogle for filling in and doing some guest hosting. It was really fun to just listen to 216 and hear the different stories that the people had to tell. Coy was someone I was looking to have on the show, but Tracy beat me to it and really enjoyed that one. Fred is also another one of those guys that I would have loved to talk to and really liked hearing his stories, especially about the game show stuff. So that was a really, really special treat, and big shout outs to Tracy for bringing him on. And then Lack Attack is someone that I've watched on Twitch for a long time and the different stuff that they've done at GDQs. Big fan. Never would have thought to have him on the show. Have no real relationship with him, only watched him on Twitch. So that was, again, a really special treat for the 216 show to have him on. And I really, really enjoyed that. So huge shout outs to Tracy for filling in and doing some really excellent guest hosting. And then Moogle came in and I thought killed it as a host and talked to someone that I was going to have on season 5, Zafkiel. And so I'm super jealous that he got Zaf, because I would have loved to talk to him. But Moogle did a better job than I think I would have done. So huge shout outs to the guest hosts. I really hope that you enjoyed having shows come out while I was taking a little break between seasons. I really enjoyed the break. It was good to kind of get away, but I was glad to fill the feed up with some new episodes, even if I wasn't involved. So big shout outs to Tracy M and Moogle Charm. So make sure you show some love in the Discord for both of them. I thought they did an excellent job, and I really, really enjoyed having some 216 episodes to listen to this holiday season. There's a lot to get to because I haven't done the show in a couple of months. So where to start? Let's talk about the 216 tournament. We're running a 216 co-op cross keys. It's just about to start. This is coming out on the first of the year. The tournament starts on the 3rd. Right now we've got 41 teams. I'm hoping we can get an even number in there. As I record this though, you know, there's only a day left, and when this comes out, it'll be the last day to register. So maybe we can get an even number of teams. If not, whatever. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've been practicing with Moogle. Our first one went pretty poorly. It went poorly in the fact that we didn't finish well. Like, we had fun for sure, and that's going to be kind of our goal. But the communication is so key in this. I mean, in co-op in general, it's super important. But because you're sharing so much information with entrances and the items and the keys, keeping it all together and trying to piece it together and plan a route and figure out where to go next. I think the first race that we did, or the first async that we did, maybe even into the second and third ones, it was trying to figure out where we're going next was our biggest problem. And I think as we've done more and more, we've gotten a lot better at it. So hoping to put up some good results with Moogle. We're having a blast doing it. It's a lot of fun playing co-op. It's a lot of fun playing co-op cross keys. It's going to be fun watching all these teams. There's a lot of really strong teams, and we're only going to make it to the top 4. So should be a battle. There's nowhere to watch any of this. Just if you want to restream stuff or get multi-links, we'll have links in the Discord to races that are going on. In the events channel, I believe that's going to happen. Shout-outs to Claire Mouse for organizing all that. But there's no official restream, so multis and jank, I guess we'll call them jank restreams, are going to be the crux of this. So hopefully people can put some stuff together. I might try to restream a couple of things on my channel, but overall it's just about racing and having fun. And seeing all the people do co-op cross keys is fun. I just really enjoy it. It's one aspect of the community that I love the most, and that's co-op. So the tournament, 6 weeks long, and then there'll be a bracket of best of 3 for the top 4 coming up in February, end of February. So really excited about that. Good turnout for our first tournament. Speaking of co-op, League is about to wrap up. I think we're in the finals between 2Infinity and Pagog and Potato Pouch. I don't think they've played any races yet. I haven't seen any on the schedule. So that's the finals. My team, your mom's favorite rando team, got knocked out by Don't Forget to Track Us, featuring today's guest, Flip Heel. We do talk a little bit about our experience in the league and his team knocking out mine. I just want to say, League this year was amazing. I had the most fun I've ever had in a league season. I think co-op playoffs is 100% the best playoff mode that we've had in all the 6 seasons of League. I hope they continue it. I think it worked really, really well. It's funny that most of the first place or the higher seeded teams that got to pick first lost most of those races. I don't know about the Open, but in the Invitational, it felt like any team that was higher seeded lost their first choice. I know we did, and I know some other teams like Mughal's team and a lot of other teams that were higher seeded that you'd expect to come out lost their first game. So interesting how the choice played a factor and then how the, I guess, underdogs or lower seeded teams took advantage of it. The choice between like spoiler and itemizer, I think, were the big ones. You know, you usually have your retrans players and then most of your team can play co-op AD because that's kind of like universal. So trying to like figure it all out, I think, is tough. And I think our team had an idea. Like, I think we put together what we thought was the best idea going into the playoffs, and it just didn't gel. It didn't work right. Shireen had a little bit of a tough run this playoff season, and he knows that. I know he felt the brunt of it because he was in the knockout match. But super proud of Shireen, super proud of Gamma, and I had a blast. I hope we get to run it back. I'm not sure where Shireen is with the game. I know he was a little frustrated when he lost. Understandably, losing sucks. It's easy to get tilted. But we had so much fun, and like I said, the playoff format was a lot of fun. Spoiler co-op, spoiler pilot is super tough, and I had to pilot every race, and I think I'm okay at it, but I'm not great, and I don't know. It's a tough one. It was one of our weaknesses. We could have gotten Itemizer game three, but I get tilted in Itemizer really, really hard if things don't go my way. I'm so used to like certain strats, and Itemizer throws that off, and I have a hard time adjusting. That's just me being honest. Maybe we should have gone Itemizer. I don't know. Like, we had the lead going in game three, and Shireen just had a little bit of a flub, and that happens. But really proud of him, and had a lot of fun with Shireen. And then, you know, I don't want to throw Shireen. I'm not trying to throw Shireen under the bus because we all made our mistakes. You know, Gamma miscounted in Hera in game one, and had Shireen go to Hera basement, and there was no item there. It was a dungeon item. And that really ended up costing game one. So everyone had mistakes. I think the big thing and the best part about League is that, one, you get to throw your teammates under the bus when they make mistakes and have fun with it. Just don't do that right after the race. I may have made that mistake this year, so apologies to Gamma and Shireen. But you also get teammates to like hold you up and lift you up when you make mistakes. Because I made mistakes, Gamma made mistakes, Shireen made mistakes, and we didn't make it as far as we thought we could have made it. But like I said, we had so much fun, and I'm hoping we get to run it back again next year. And yeah, good luck to the finalists. You know, if you looked at the beginning of the season and you looked at all the different teams in the Invitational, I don't know if people would have predicted Potato Pouch versus Two Infinity and Bagog. I had Will on late last season, and we talked about how his team got knocked out last year. They got swept by Don't Forget the Trackus, and I was really, really surprised in round one. And now they're back in the finals, so it's cool to see them have that kind of resurgence this year. But the number one seed in our conference beats from the East. They ended up losing to Infinity and Pagog in round two. You know, we lost to Don't Forget the Trackus in round two. Washed, Jem, Korok, and Ak lost to Potato Pouch in round two. The Spoilers got knocked out in round one. Pugs got knocked out in round one. So a lot of like what you could consider upsets. And I think that's really cool. I think it makes it fun and makes it interesting. And, you know, kind of why we play is like anyone can win. So I don't know. I thought it was a really successful League season. I didn't see any drama behind the scenes or even come public. So that's really cool. You know, I'm not involved with any of the behind the scenes stuff. So there may have been some drama that I don't know about, but nothing public, which made everything really copacetic. You know, that was really cool. And it was cool to see the return of a lot of teams. Defender Honor Drifters were back. You know, that's another team that lost in the first round that you thought may win the whole thing. So I think co-op kind of changes things in the playoffs. You got to really know how to play co-op. You got to have things kind of bounce your way, and you got to have really good communication. So we got some call-ups from the Open. We have two teams actually have earned their invite into the Invitational for Season 7. Psyduck Psychos and Boing Boing Boingers. Boing Boing Boingers, I believe, are a Brazilian team. I'm familiar with Tiso, not as familiar with their teammates, but they had a really good season. ROTC4, I think that's maybe how you say it, or maybe not. And Pite 11. I'm so sorry if I'm getting those names wrong. But that's one team that's going to be playing in the Invitational next year, so that's really cool. Psyduck Psychos is going to be in the Invitational next year. That's Yoshi's team, a former league champion, went 7-4. Krakorito and Bumble are his teammates. So they'll be playing in the Invitational next year. Oh, a third team actually has made it as well. Ed was supposed to carry us, which is Norsk Maddie, MindyM, and W Garrison. They're going to be playing in the Invitational next year. They actually knocked out the Underachievers, formerly Spherefinity. So back to the open for GFE, P-Train, and Sabotender. I wouldn't be surprised to see if they get called up if there's space next year, but yeah, didn't earn their spot. And then the last one is a really tough one. It's Crystal Roller Crew, which is Zafakil, Armalex, and IB Karma. And they're going to be going playing in game 3 versus the Uncle Routers, who is also one of the favorites to win the open, which is Bredkin, and Hitman, and Orange. And only one of these two teams is going to earn their invite into the Invitational next year. So check that out. And again, one of those two teams might actually get called up next year if there's space in the Invitational, if other teams drop out because of how strong they are. But, you know, you earn it and you're in. So what a fun league season. I just had so much fun. We had a really strong division with Vendrana Drifters finishing first. Don't forget the track is finishing third. JKOL finishing fourth. Tyroomies just missed it. Leftovers restocked. Didn't have the season that they wanted. Sahas Kids and Amish Paradise both 3-11. But really, really fun season. Really fun division. I ended up going overall, including playoffs, 6-4. My losses were in week 1 with Gamma Chu. That was an ice rod hunt in co-op AD. And we was in, I want to say the ice rod was in purple chest. And we barely lost that one. So that was crazy that we didn't win that one, and almost last location, or I think last location that ice run. Shireen and I lost against the Drifters, Wall Kicks and Megawatt in Pilot Spoiler. That was a tough one. And that was just a really, really tough matchup. I ended up losing to Jesse in Cross Keys. That was like my worst loss of the season. And then my last loss was with Shireen in the co-op Pilot Spoiler, which was by, 8 seconds. So, you know, successful season, I would say. Really, really fun. I mean, the modes were great. Co-op AD, classic. That was good. The one outlier being the Champions Ganon Hunt, but they always fiddle with different rules, different modes for that week. So it's not the worst. It's not swordless, but maybe replace that with something else. But we had 80 keys. Maybe just bring back 80 keys next year instead of the 80 keys. Kaz Boots is a staple. I feel like Spoiler Pilot can't get rid of because people just like it. It's part of the playoffs now. Cross Keys is a staple. Co-op Minimizer is a staple. So maybe if they switch out AAD keys and just bring back regular AD keys would be good. I feel like the league got away from AD keys because back in, I want to say season 3, maybe season 4, in the playoffs, you got to choose your modes and everyone was always picking AD keys. And it's almost like the league admins and the league mods got tired of that mode. But that's not the case anymore. So just bring back 80 keys, I would say. Just that's the way to go. There's no reason to fix it anymore. It's not getting picked in the playoffs. It's not, you know, there was a, I think it was season 3 where it was just like every playoff mode was 80 keys. So bring it back. Just bring back 80 keys. Week 5, the Champions Hunt, I don't know what you do with that. There's so many different weird modes now that you could do anything. Maybe even bring another in co-op. I don't know. But the playoffs, excellent. Excellent, excellent. So hats off to league admins, league mods. League seemed to run really, really well this season. And it was my favorite season that I've been a part of. All right, long intro, still going. We are going to get the Flip Hill. Flip Hill is the guest today. I mentioned Flip Hill because I went to Speed Gaming Live. That was, gosh, when was that? Was that in November now? So it's been almost 2 months since Speed Gaming Live. I really battled back and forth on whether I wanted to record something for it or record something while I was there for it. I ended up choosing not to. I just wanted to let it be what it was. And then when I came back from SGL, I was again thinking like, do I do like a short episode where I kind of recap my experience with Speed Gaming Live And this may come as a surprise, but I didn't want to be a party pooper about Speed Gaming Live, so I didn't record anything like special for it. So let me get the good stuff out of the way first. I think the staff and everyone that puts Speed Gaming on does an excellent job. I thought, Sigma and Herfy Durfy and Dante and Fiesel and all the crew that put together Speed Gaming Live and made it run and did a really good job of just organizing it. It was very organized and very like, it flowed really well. I thought the staff does an excellent job. I think it is a really, really cool event. It was really, really neat to put faces to names, being able to see what everyone looks like and getting a chance to meet everyone. It was a real pleasure. And the overall atmosphere is just the one of like kind of positivity and everyone is there to have a good time. So it feels kind of like a mini party. So a lot of really, really cool positives. My favorite, probably the dinners that we went to. I went to the Brazilian Steakhouse twice in two nights. I went with the league admins. I was invited by the league admins to go to the steakhouse. And that was really good to like reconnect with the admins and just to kind of have a dinner with them that we never had a chance where all of the league admins got together and ate dinner and shot the shit. And it was really good. Really, really fun. And then a whole bunch of other people wanted to go the next night, and someone said Brazilian Steakhouse, and I said yes. And so we went, and two nights in a row, really, really good. But that was a lot of red meat in two nights. Doing comms, I think, was a really fun experience. I was super nervous doing comms. Never done them live and in person with the person that you're talking to right next to you. I got a chance to do comms with Clear Mouse, who I love doing comms with, Tracy M, who I love doing comms with, and then Moogle and I got to do some comms for a race, and that was a lot of fun. I don't get a chance to do comms with Moogle very often, but really, really enjoyed that. So really, really cool experience that was brand new to me. But okay, so a lot of positives, and this is just my perspective, and it's a struggle that I have is I... Okay, so I had James FNX on the show last season, and he talked about how he's kind of like a vampire. He doesn't like, he can't go places where he's not invited. And I kind of feel the same way, where there was a lot of stuff, I think, going on at nights, but I never really felt invited. Like, I'm not the type of person that can just like go up to a crowd of people and say, what's going on? Or let me come hang out with you guys. I feel like I have to be invited in. And I'm just not the kind of person that can just push their way in or just kind of adapt and be a part of the group. I feel like I have to be welcomed in. And if I'm being honest, I don't feel like I was. And again, maybe everyone else didn't feel that way, but that's how I felt. And so I kind of got lonely. It was a long time. I was gone from Wednesday to Monday, and you know, I was away from my family. And I had a great roommate. Shinmaru was an excellent, excellent roommate. And I'm going to try to have him on the show this season. Just a really cool, chill dude, very quiet. And couldn't have asked for a better roommate. But there's a lot of times where I just kind of went to bed at night. And I ended up hearing through kind of offhand conversations about all the stuff that was happening. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I know it's just me. Maybe it's not just me. I know that it's just me, that I just don't feel like I have to be invited. I have to feel like I'm included, and I can't just include myself. I know that's my own thing. And so it felt like a really long time with not a lot to do. I did two races and then I dropped. You know, racing is its own beast. But once my two races were done, I didn't really have anything to do. And then it didn't help that like my core group of friends didn't stay in the hotel. They were out in their own house, the Gamma Party House. So I didn't get to hang out with them as much. They were there, but when they were there, most of them were in the tournament. So they were like constantly playing. So I don't know. It was fun. I definitely enjoyed myself, and there's things about it that I enjoyed, but I found it to be pretty lonely. So I don't know if I go back to Speed Gaming Live again. I would recommend everyone do it. I think it's really, really cool to meet everyone, and everyone's going to have their own experiences. But for me, for someone that is not good at just inserting themselves into situations, it was a little bit tough. And you might think that's strange because I have a podcast where I talk and I reach out to people. One-on-one, fine. groups of people, I feel uncomfortable unless, again, unless I get invited and it's hard for me to just insert myself in there. So I know a lot of people had a really good time. And like I said, it's an excellent, excellent event. So don't let me discourage anyone from going that think about going. Just know that you have to kind of insert yourself into situations if you want to be a part of them, or else it can get kind of lonely. And it is a very long time, Wednesday to Sunday. And there's not like panels. There's not a lot going on. There's gaming happening, but you kind of have to find ways to fill your time. So prepare for that. All right. That's a lot. There's so much going on, but that's kind of what happens when you come back from a hiatus. Got to fill in on everything that I missed. And I'm sure there's other stuff that I missed. There's a lot going on, but we're back with shows. Today on the show, we've got Flip Heel. Got a chance to meet him kind of briefly at SGL. And then we got a race together against each other, in the league. And he got to knock me out and I get to curse him again on the show. But man, it was so much fun talking with Flip Heel. It was good just to kind of get back into the rhythm of things. So let's get to it. Sorry to take so long. Here's Flip Heel. How's your Christmas been going?
Pretty well.
Christmas?
I'm celebrating Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah, I know how it goes. Yeah, but it was good. Christmas Eve with the girlfriend, Christmas with the family, and then, like I said, the other side we did today. So
nice.
It's been good. How's it going for you?
Yeah, things have been going well. I've been sick. Other than being sick, I think it's been a good Christmas. But with kids, it makes it a little bit different. Like,
I was recovering from being sick the past couple weeks before Christmas. Oh, yeah. So I feel it.
Like, for Christmas Eve is usually when we get together with my family, and we have my 94-year-old grandpa is there, just because it's Christmas. And there's no way I can go being even a little bit sick, because, you know, when you're 94, anything
can take you down.
So I had to do, and my parents live like half a mile away, I had to do Christmas on FaceTime. So watching everyone open up presents and stuff was an interesting way of doing it. I was like on the mend, but you just don't want to take a chance.
Yeah, 100%. No, I think someone else, I don't know who, but someone else had a similar problem. They were like, I'm sick, but I can't, you know, see my family.
Yeah. So I sat at home playing Baldur's Gate 3 and had FaceTime open on my other computer. So it wasn't like a huge loss, but.
Oh, yeah, you still go. I know it's a really long game, so I know you're playing the crap out of it.
It's my fifth playthrough, so it's a little ridiculous, but I'm trying to hit all the achievements. I have four more achievements to go, and then I'm all done. But it's just, the game is just so massive, and there's so many like variables that, like, it's just so much fun. I've had so much fun playing it. Let's talk about League for a second. You're an asshole. You kicked me out of the league, dude. What the heck?
I know.
I feel like that's a repeat of me, like, cursing you on the show is kind of a repeated motif, if you will. I pick like, you knock out Zelga or you knock out someone else, I think, that is going to win. And apparently I just need to pick you, even when you're playing against me.
And then, funnily enough, I think you picked me to beat Tudor, and then Tudor ended up winning anyway. So
maybe it's just whoever I don't pick ends up winning. But I mean, the run through the league had to feel pretty good, right? Like, our matchup, I don't want to be an asshole about it, but I feel like we were probably a little, I mean, when you have Gamachu, you got to be.
I would put you guys as the favorites, definitely. Probably right. Not as much as like everyone else would, but we definitely, like, going into that week, going into the next week, I was just like, oh man, it's just like not easy. It's basically like, I thought our best shot was to win Retrance and then like have a shot game three or something. Mm-hmm. It's not how I imagined winning. We'll put it that way.
Was crazy. It was a crazy matchup. That the you played the two wins, right? You did the co-op AD against Gamma and Shireen, right? No, you did.
I won that, but I lost the Retrance.
That's right. That's right. The one that Shireen wasn't a part of. You own Shireen is basically what I'm saying. Is you are now Shireen's dad, all things considered. But that matchup, I don't want to say, again, I don't want to sound like we should have had the match, because it's playoffs and it's rando and you guys are really good anyways. But I felt like we we felt pretty comfortable. And then it, that co-op AD was just something else.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I felt like it was a pretty linear, straightforward seed. We played pretty well. Like I said, the higher basement thing for you, that's just an uncharacteristic mistake, right? Like,
yeah,
you don't expect you guys to make that mistake like that. So
the fact that you guys both skipped out on Hobo was kind of funny, right? The fact that you both got the mitts so late.
Oh my God, yeah. And then Iker, it's funny because if Iker was not in that race, Iker would have done Hobo immediately. Like, Iker loves not skipping Hobo. So, right, like, right. Iker was like, oh my God.
It was just so funny because both teams probably felt terrible. And I know my team did, but did you guys feel like, oh man, we should have had those mitts a long time ago?
We were like, oh, we could have had this a long time ago, but then we just didn't know how to like feel because. We were like, oh, if the other team has it, we're probably in trouble or doomed. But at the same time, I was like, I don't know if they would rush that either. Like, I feel like it's hard to go back to Hobo from because like you're probably going to water walk to the area. So,
yeah,
it was just too hard to gauge.
It was crazy. It was a crazy race. And then the Shireen Ikea race where you had no participation in, you did your two races. How were you feeling? Were you watching it?
Yeah. What night was that? Was that a weeknight?
It was probably a week. I can't remember at this point. It feels like it was years ago, but it was just like 2 weeks ago.
Me and Gamma were calming it. Yeah, I was there. Yeah,
of course. Of course you were there.
Yeah, 2 weeks. I don't even remember calming it.
Seriously, it was like 2 weeks ago. Like, no joke. It was like 2 weeks ago, and I can barely remember it. But how were you feeling when you, like, it felt like it was super close, and, you know, Shireen had a little bit of a lead going into to GT, were you thinking,
yeah, like, it was weird because it felt like we just got a little luckier or like had a cleaner route in the beginning, but then Iker burned a lot of time getting that butter sword, which I think basically gave all the time back slash put him behind Shireen then going into GT. And then GT was just that was a roller coaster of emotions, like
it was so weird because like once Shireen did Landmo 2 and it was clean, I was like, all right dude, just keep going. You got this. And, you know, Ikeer had a kind of a little bit more of a rough time with Lambo too. So it felt like, oh, we got time. And then things just sort of melted down at the end. And, you know, I'm not blaming anyone.
It was so crazy because, and that, like, watching Shireen, I think, like, they both had opportunities to get magic. But, like, Shireen missed one right before Lambo 2. And then, like I said, it just snowballed. Like, he landed the Lambo 2 fight perfectly. But then having no magic for the Torches won, gave all that time back. It was just, oh my God. And then I say Agatu was like the hardest boss in the game. And then it just turned the tide. It reminded me of, I had a similar like spoiler race versus Jesse and with a pilot spoiler earlier in the year. Uh-huh. I think I had pulled ahead and then like Aga just wrecked me. And then he took the lead. It's similar to like what happened to Shireen. And then, yeah, it's brutal. And then the 1-1 just kind of sealed it.
Yeah. It was crazy. And then you guys go on and get 2-0'd by into Infinity Magog. Was this your best finish, you guys?
Yeah. I think the year before we had made it one round and then we went up against the champs or the eventual champs. So, this was another race that we were just we were like trying to figure because we had the pick advantage, but we were like, what in the world do we do?
Yeah,
AD, you don't really want to pick against that team. We could have maybe done Animizer, but we were thinking of doing it to game three, and we were just like, we've been practicing retrants. We also thought it might have been Relkin and Will, but it ended up being Relkin and Humbug. And then I just can't catch a break in on any of our picks, but
I feel like in the playoffs the top seed always lost game one. It was just really weird. Like whoever got a pick first just never really worked out. And I don't know why that was. It's just a weird statistical anomaly this season.
And then
it happened.
I was just going to say how going into the spoiler, I was like, oh man, we're probably doomed. But you know, I'm going to basically every spoiler kind of thing I've had this season, I was like, you know, just win or lose, just don't make any glaring mistakes. And then what do I do in like the first 15 minutes? Make two glaring mistakes and just throw the race.
Right. Against Relkin, who you don't have the room to make those kind of mistakes, right?
Like exactly.
There's only a couple of people that can really fully like say like I can beat Relkin, and not saying that you're not one of them, but you know, you pick maybe Gamma or Gem. Those are like maybe the two people that are like consistently putting up those times. And I was we were watching that race and talking with friends. I'm like, Flip's gonna show some people what's up. It didn't work out, but
that's what I wanted. Because so like Relkin has a really sick NMG time, and like my NMG time isn't like terribly far off, but it's, you know, it's like close enough where like I can, on a good day, I can put up with, I can keep up with them, but at the same time there's no room for error. And then I was shaky in Thieves Town. I didn't have the boots and I was low health, so I was like a lost time there. And then I didn't hit the switch in ice and I was like, oh no, I already lost. And then once I died, it was just over. And then later in the race, it was funny too, because even though we were already done, PRD was like, oh, I messed up real bad. And I was like, just tell me, it's already over. I threw by dying, so just lay it on me.
Yeah, tell me about your experience as your team, because you guys been together for what, three or four seasons now, right?
Yeah, me and Iker have been together since season two. It was a wild ride. We had Floyd for two seasons.
Okay,
and then I don't know. Did I just like start from the beginning, or
but whatever. Yeah, whatever.
I guess, yeah. Well, since we're on the whole league kick, we'll start with the first season of league. Yeah, it was season two, obviously,
because season one, I don't even know if you were playing rando then, but there was only a few teams that got invited that year. But
yeah, so I remember Floyd had Floyd was on the hand in duty, like when the infamous, like everyone filled in like 5 seconds or whatever. 12 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So we got in, and I believe we were in like one of the hardest groups, the group of death, I think it was called, because it had like, it had Andy's team, it had PRD, Drakkar, Shireen, it had some other good people. It just had a lot of strong names. And
did you have the same team name? Were you guys, don't forget to track us then?
We were 16-bit nerds back then.
Oh, okay. 16-bit. Okay.
And then, yeah, we put up an okay showing. We took off some wins from, Iker and Floyd did really well versus Tang. And I just remember that season too, because I remember listening to Dante on their podcast. He was just talking randomly, not like to me or anything. I just remember him talking like, you know, people may be playing some people you've never seen before, some like really tough opponents, and to just dare to be great. And it was me and Iker felt pretty comfortable in cross keys. We were like, oh man, if we get like anybody else other than Andy's team, we're like, I think we're golden. And then we ended up getting them. So I was like, oh, great. And then PRD, well, I didn't know PRD and Drakkar's back then, but yeah. But so basically, I was just like, you know what? Because we were like trying to figure out what we're going to do. And I'm like, all right, this is it. I'm going to game. I'll play Andy. You go up against Futon or whatever, whoever. And then like, I'm so prepped to fight Andy. I'm like, oh, man, he's such a great, tough opponent. And then we put in like the times, and then Futon's like, oh, your time will line up perfectly with mine. And I was like, oh, okay. All right, let's do it.
That's hilarious. And yeah, you lost to Futon, but 2 minutes, basically. Like that's super close.
Oh, that seed was so wild. That was like back then when like you couldn't see the swords in the dark.
Oh,
and there were two swords in the left side of pod, and Futon died in one. I start slashing my sword in the front. It was so crazy. I had like Trinex killed Butter Sword first kill. Yeah, it was such a crazy seed. And I just remember basically it was who does Spike Cave first for a swamp small to go into swamp for your boots or something. And I'd finished the area so I could never go back. But yeah, it was a good race.
Yeah. So you guys went 6-8 that year. And then season three, you come back with Floyd. But Floyd, I don't know how much you want to talk about. It ends up getting banned.
So I remember going into that year, Floyd was, he was like, so are we doing this again? And I was like, yeah, I guess so. Let's try again. And that season, I was probably the most try hard I've ever been, because it was really weird. Some of my buddies, Tam, Worf, Jake Revenant on Did You Check Your Boot? They were in another division. And the weirdest thing, like it's such a bittersweet feeling watching like your, I consider them like my peers, my equals and stuff. I was like, oh man, they're doing so great in Invitational League, you know, showing everyone what they're doing. And I'm just like, I felt like, you know, I was like at their level. But, you know, I think the way the playoffs went, it was like 9-7, or like you had to be a certain record to make the next invite.
Yeah.
So it was like, I was just like, all right, we're going to do, I'm going to study all my opponents. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Like super hard training. And then, yeah, we were playing pretty well. And then it was so weird when Floyd, he actually vanished on me in our last race. It was Atomizer. He was like telling me what to do. And then like, as I'm like climbing, I'm like, Floyd, everything okay? And then he just like vanished mid race.
That's so weird.
Yeah. I think like maybe like someone like chatted to him about something, or maybe he was like worried about that, but like maybe something was going on or he got caught or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then he also apparently had some like real life issues he was dealing with. I eventually heard from him. So
did you hear from him after that, or was that it?
No, he eventually touched base with us. He was just like, basically he was going like, you know, I don't want to go into his personal life, but he had some like internal struggles going on, and between the cheating and whatever, he just had to go. But
yeah, what was that like for you as someone who loses a teammate through, I mean, there's obviously he's dealing with real life stuff, but to be caught cheating or whatever and like be a part of this team, it's like how does that affect you?
It was weird because like I said, I felt like betrayed a little bit. Mm-hmm. I never expected it to, but like looking back, it caught me off guard. I didn't know how to feel, like especially because he just left me in the middle of the race, like didn't even say anything.
Yeah.
And then it was so weird because we had to find a teammate, and then we were like, what do we do like about the final race? I think we ended up just, we had enough of a lead where like me and Iker played to give us some bias, some extra time before we figured out what we're doing for a teammate, and it just kind of worried. But yeah, it was awkward. And then, you know, you see everyone talking about your former teammate, like, you know, they're not talking about you, but it's just so weird seeing everyone
associated with it, right?
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's gotta be tough. So Pert ends up taking that spot, right? And fills in for the playoffs for you guys.
Yeah. And then we had we beat, Go. I think they were, or no, they were,
Rando. We need a mentor.
We need a mentor back then. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we ended up going against the team with So, Scarlet, and Tepedino, which was scary. Yeah. But you know, that was a whole, it was, you know, that was interesting too. We, you know, to have a cheater and then
lose,
gotten bested by a cheater.
So you missed out on qualifying for the Invitationals the following season, but for season four you did end up getting invited, right?
Yeah, we got invited. I think like in between season three and four, I was just like, you know what, like I care, not that I cared less, but I was like, you know what, I'm not gonna worry about it so much. I'm just gonna, you know, keep reflecting and playing and just playing the game. And then just between, you know, what the three of us did that year, we got the invite. And a hard year, but that was a fun first year in the Invitational. I remember you actually calmed our first game versus, I think it was like the Lane and Error.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we put a decent showing up until like the first 50 minutes with a big bottleneck, and then like, you know, they just, I didn't have the execution I have now. It's still nothing to like compared to like Ari, but yeah,
sure.
They just like obliterated us in the end. And then you're just like, at the end, you're like, yeah, welcome to the league. I was like, yeah, sweet. Or welcome to Invitational.
Yeah. Yeah. So did that change your feeling as far as like you saw your friends in the Invitational that felt like, hey, we could be up there, and then you finally get there. Did your feelings on the Invitational or Rando change at all? Or even just your perspective of like being less of a tryhard?
No, it just felt good to finally be there and like, you know, I guess show people I was like all right at the game and play good opponents. It was great.
I mean, I look at your schedule. You guys had season four was one of the toughest seasons as far as like big name competition. Season three and four, you guys, you know, played Error 216 week one. You talk about Ari and the Lane. You had Vortex and Scoople. You know, you played against Zelga's team and the Tau Roomies. So it was baptism by fire, right? Like, it was all just tough matches all the way through.
Yeah. Like I said, I was just glad. Yeah, I was glad to at least, like, you know, not get relegated. I forget what our record was, but we did okay, all things considered.
5-9. You guys are 5-9.
Yeah. So not great, but not bad. Like I said, in a tough group like that.
Mm-hmm. Then you bounce back, you guys go 8-6 and make the playoffs the next season. And not only that, beat 2 Infinity to Pagog, swept them. last year.
Yeah, that was a great season. I just remember the beginning being super shaky. I remember going into the first match, because it feels like we always get the hardest AD teams ever. I'm like, oh great, we're going against Fear Gamma. This will be fun.
Yeah,
and I'm like, all right, we're gonna show people that, you know, we're pretty good, we're all right. And then the race with PRD still gives me nightmares. I remember like not wanting to go into Eastern because we had like a bunch of stuff going, and PRD was like, I don't know, but like it was like in my brain I was like, well, I don't think they're gonna go in there, we still have these other two options left. So it was like, it was this weird race where like usually you don't second guess your teammates, but like when it does happen, it feels awkward or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I just remember you had to go to the mountain for mitts, and then Hookshot was on, I think, something stupid like Purple Chess. And then I was like, all right, PRD, I'm going to go up to Hookshot Cave, because, you know, you couldn't have the Hookshot there. And, you know, it's like, it's basically Hype Cave. And then he was like, I don't know, maybe we should do like dungeons instead. And then I think he found Samaria, so I was like, all right, we'll do it. And then, so naturally, you're going to go up there. And then PRD goes up like 15 minutes later, finds a book there, and I'm like, oh, okay, so you did Ether Tablet?
Oh, I remember, like, yes, now I remember this.
Yep. He's like, no, I save and quit. And then he goes back 10 minutes later, he's like, oh, hey, the boots are here. I'm like, oh, the boots I could have had for us like a 30-minute mark.
That's the worst.
I still have nightmares about that. Yeah. But.
Yeah, that was good. Overall, though, it was a really good season. You guys ended up going 8-6, and then, like I said, you swept 2 Infinity and Pagog. Again, I don't think many people were expecting that. And that was
we certainly weren't. Like, we were like, all right, we can put up a fight against this team, you know, they're definitely the favorites, but we can put up a strong showing. And then
blew them out.
I remember Iker versus Will. It was just a matter of Will went to the mountain early, so like you're not going to go to Turtle Rock, and then Iker went to the mountain late, so like when you go late, you're probably going to go to Turtle Rock. And then one Humbug, I went basically north versus south. I thought that was crazy too. He picked Inverted. I was like, man, Inverted's such a not great race mode, but all right.
Yeah.
And then basically I went north of Kakariko and he went south, so like I got this early check in King's Tomb, but I think he still would have been all right. But it was weird. He had no magic, I think. And then unfortunately something was on Magic Bat too. I think it was like Samaria. So it was like the one thing, maybe if it didn't happen, he probably beats me. But the combination of the two, he just, you know, ended up getting beat. And then I forget what happened to Ralkin, but it's some kind of weird cross keys thing.
Sure.
Beardy survived.
Yeah. And then he lost the eventual champions the next round, but man, some good runs through the league.
Yeah. I just want to give a small shout out to Iker for that season too, because I remember I was like, all right, you're going up against GGW. Like, this guy's running hot. This is probably the team that's going to win the whole thing. And like, I was just like, this is what you're up against. And like, you know, I was like, you know, maybe you should try some like ladder matches or whatever. So like, yeah, he does a couple or whatever. And then I thought he played super well versus GGW. It was just like, it was just this Aga seed where you couldn't avoid Aga, but Iker rushed it, and there was a Tempered Sword in Hera Basement, which GGW used to victory. And yeah, it was rough because like GGW obviously has, you know, a bit of execution on Iker, and it's just really fantastic. But it was just like, I think Iker played his heart out and played super well, but like the sword difference just edged out. But
yeah,
I was happy with that season. That was a good season.
So as far as like playing as a team, is that something that you've enjoyed the last few seasons? Like, we'll get into like all the other, you know, solo stuff, but as far as like playing with Ike here and PRD and even past cheaters and stuff,
League is like the greatest part of Zelda. Just something about like it's kind of like sports, like watching like when you're not co-oping with your teammates, like just watching them and rooting them on live, and like, you know, like being like, oh no, or like, oh yeah, it's just something different than like a normal race.
Yeah, even like solo races where you're rooting for your friends, it feels different, right? Like, there's definitely weight to like rooting on your friends when they're in like the main tournament or the Crosskeys tournament or whatever. But when there's something on the line for you, even when you're not racing, I don't know, it's just something a little bit different.
Yeah, it's just, there's nothing else like it. It's just the bonding, the friendship, and everything you make along the way. It's just, there's so much more to it. It's It's the best.
So when you started gaming, were you a little kid, or did you get into gaming when you're older?
I started at a very young age. I don't know how early, but I think one of my youngest memories ever was it was the original Zelda on the NES and level 9. You know how like level 9 is like a nightmare, like yep. to route.
Even as an adult, it's a nightmare.
Exactly. I remember like getting to level 9. I couldn't figure out what to do. And I'm like, I just remember having like a bowl of cereal or something and then coming back to it and then beating the game.
That's awesome. How old are you?
Me? I'll be no, turning.
No. When you're playing, oh. I'm thinking about, I mean, sure, how old are you now? But like,
I want to say like 5 to 8 or something. Like it was.
Oh my gosh.
Really? I think. I don't know. Like, I don't know the exact age, but because I don't remember much from my childhood, but I just remember that was like one of the first things I remember other than like into an apartment or like whatever.
Sure. That's so, because I could never beat it as a kid. I barely even remember if I made it to past level 8. Like, it was just so hard and I was not very good. I loved it, but I just was not good. So the fact that you're able to, you know, get some Cocoa Puffs and then sit back down and take on Ganon is super impressive as a kid back then.
Yeah, it was fun. I don't know if I beat the second quest, but that like, just randomly like, oh, hey, now you can walk through walls. Like, oh, thanks. Like, you couldn't do that in the first one.
But. Yeah. So the NES was your first video game system?
Yeah, the NES was the first one. I've pretty much basically always been a Nintendo person. Yeah, I was just actually looking at my collection here. Some notables, I guess. Like, you know, obviously I played like Mario, Zelda. Got some obscure ones too, like Bugs Bunny's Birthday Blowout. Star Tropics was a great game.
Oh yeah, Star Tropics is great. Yeah,
had some great music.
Do you still have your collection from when you were a kid?
Yeah, I still have basically every game with like a couple caveats. Maybe I sold some stuff.
That's impressive.
Yeah, and then I think another weird game that was pretty cool was Baxandu.
I don't know if I've heard of that.
It's like it's this like side scroller like with armor and stuff. Pretty challenging. I definitely didn't beat it as a kid. I think there was like passwords and stuff.
Mm.
And then other than that, like TMNT and then Final Fantasy 1. I remember basically I believe it's like my cousins, like they let me borrow it and then I just never gave it back. And
yeah, perfect.
Yeah, that was a fun one. I remember doing basically, my group was always fighter, black mage, white mage. I never knew how good black belts were because I would always give them a weapon. And apparently, they're overpowered without a weapon.
Sure.
And I remember doing some like solo.
You know what's
like,
funny is when I think back on those like NES days, is like the wide variety of games that were available on specifically the Nintendo, the original Nintendo, as far as like fighters or action or RPG. There's like just so many different genres, which has continued on. But I feel like growing up as a kid, the genres weren't as defined. Like when you played video games, you played all of the video games. You know what I mean? Like, whereas now you mostly like find your niche and kind of stick to it. Like maybe you're a retro gamer, or maybe you're into RPGs, or maybe you're into platformers, and you might spread your wings and dabble here and there and other stuff. But it felt like as a kid, you played everything that you could get your hands on.
Yeah, there's so much variety. Like you said, there's hundreds of NES games and they weren't that much. And yeah, there's just so much to choose from. And
yeah, I mean, I'd go to like the local, not Blockbuster, but like it was a mom and pop rental store. And I'd just rent all the NES games that I could. And you try them all. Like we were flooded with options now with like Steam. You can just, you know, get anything at any time. But back then you had to kind of be a little bit more picky and try to find the stuff that you'd actually enjoy.
Yeah. And then like, I guess because you wouldn't get them as much, you just keep on, you know, playing the same ones or.
Mm-hmm. Like but I played a ton of Kung Fu and that game got super repetitive because, you know, it's just the same thing pretty much over and over again for like 6 levels or something. But it didn't stop me from playing it over and over and over and over again. But as you continued on, you stuck with like the Super Nintendo and other systems, or did you kind of branch out? Were you a Genesis guy?
Some of my buddies had a Genesis, but other than like maybe playing a Sonic or getting my butt whooped in Mortal Kombat, I didn't play much Sega. I stuck to the Super Nintendo.
Yeah. Were you playing Link to the Past?
Yeah, definitely played some Link to the Past. Probably not as much as Zelda 1, but like I definitely beat it a couple times. I would always get flustered, I think, because I would always miss like one heart piece. That was I felt like it was a completionist back then.
Sure.
And this is every time I was just like, oh no, where's this one I can't find? And then
do you think you can remember where it was? Like now that you kind of have an idea of where everything is, do you think you know what you missed?
I would have to load it back up. I would guess something like, I don't know, maybe Mimic Cave or something.
That seems likely. Yeah. That would make sense. What else were you playing?
I was big into RPGs. Final Fantasy VI, a little bit. Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. It was a bit more simplistic, but I enjoyed it. Something about the maybe not like running into enemies all the time and like choose your battles kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the battles are pretty simple. So
what was it about RPGs for you that kind of tickled your fancy?
I guess like maybe because of the completionist type. I like collecting stuff and like building up your characters, seeing them level up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Finding all the cool gear and ultimate gear and maybe even the story a little bit too. Mm-hmm. Probably six more so than Mystic Quest, but
I hear that. Is that your favorite? Is six your favorite? Because I hear that one's like the best as far as story goes.
I would say overall, actually, my favorite is Final Fantasy Tactics for the PlayStation. Something about that game is like it was more like a real time strategy game or whatever. Like it was an RPG, but it was like turn based.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt more intricate. There was like the spells, like it was like on like a speed table. It was like bigger battles. It'd be like 5-on-5 or 6-on-6, but like instead of like the normal Final Fantasies where like you'd finish a battle in like 30 seconds to a minute, it was like 5, 10, 15, 20 minute battles sometimes, depending on how hard it was.
Sure.
Yeah, and it had a really good story. It had so much replayability because the job system, you pick different ones. I remember even getting into, they call them like solo character challenges or single solo character challenges, like if you're really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So like my one group would be all archers, and the objective was to beat the game with just one class, like all in their types. So it added like a bit more challenge to it, because like some fights that are normally easy might be harder because like they have the speed advantage or just like do massive damage. So
were you, when you say you're a completionist, were you going through these different types of quests and trying to complete them even as a kid?
Yeah, pretty much. Like that game, like there was a bunch of extra characters you could unlock. There was like I think even Cloud was in that game. There was like Worker 8. There was like this really hidden, I don't know how to do it now, but like there was this weird side quest at the end of the game where you could go into this underground dungeon with like multiple layers and just grab more items and stuff like that. And beef your characters up for the end of the game, which you didn't even need, but
sure. Well, more is better, right? No matter what.
Exactly.
So as you get older, does gaming continue or does life kind of interrupt how you play games? Do you get more into PC gaming? How does your gaming evolve?
It gets better and it gets worse, I guess. So basically in college, I was, I built my own computer and I brought it to school, and it was great because it was like, I was like, oh, cool. I can play like Counter-Strike. I was huge into Counter-Strike.
Awesome. 1.6 or Source?
1.6.
Okay.
I think like 1.5 before there was Steam. Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
I have like probably like one of the lowest Steam IDs. I think it's like 5 digits or 6 digits.
Wow.
Yeah, I was one of the original ones. I think like to have a 4, you'd have to be like one of the first like people given the thing or whatever. But
sure.
Yeah, so I did a little bit of that. I did some clanning and stuff like that. And it was great. But at the same time, it was kind of bad because I definitely, so like as a kid in like high school, I was like, I had decent grades and stuff. But like I had to like, it didn't come naturally. Like I was kind of like do my homework and like do well and whatever. And then slowly in college, it got worse. Like Counter-Strike is just, it's like you can play the game a lot. And
yeah, you can.
So it my grades started to deteriorate, but like I could still semi-manage. But then the real nail in the coffin for me, which I love it and I hate it, but World of Warcraft.
Yes, I've heard this story before.
Yeah, basically, I basically just messed up college real bad, but you know, finishing up now, like I went back, but yeah, basically, it's just there's always something to do in World of Warcraft. It was so fun, but I mean, my name is actually based off of World of Warcraft.
Oh, okay.
Because the night elves, there's this stupid thing, like they could jump, but like when they jump, like they had like a 50% chance to flip.
Okay.
So I was a priest as well, and they heal. So I was like, oh, flip heal.
Nice. That's awesome. So when we're talking, you know, ruining your college, like how much are you playing World of Warcraft? And is it with like local friends, or is it expanded to people you've met just through the internet in the game?
It was a combination. Like I definitely started playing because of like some real life buddies. Actually, my one friend was like, oh, play with this one guy. He's like 2 years younger than you, but like, you know, he's leveling up the same time you are. And that's actually how, like, I know one of my, you know, better friends now. But yeah, it's basically, you know, playing with my real life friends. And then, you know, once you find a guild, PvP, there's this. Yeah, it basically branched out, had some like online friends, some friends from college, and a combination of everything.
Mm-hmm. And is it like daily? Are you guys doing raids and stuff daily, or is it how often?
I eventually didn't raid. I raided eventually, but basically I went from like going to class to like not going to class and barely ever doing work. Like it was bad. It's just, I think I needed something like, because I know a lot of people played Diablo 2 in high school back, and like I think I needed something like that to like show me how crazy the things could be, but like have restraint, because I feel like with console games, you can kind of like, there's not as much to do, or it's easier to like take a break and like focus. But
yeah.
Yeah. The addictive nature and just, yeah, just kind of got to me a little bit much.
Did that introduce you to like the world of Twitch and speedrunning, or did that come later?
That came a little later. I was doing retail for a while, and
we have a very similar story, man, where it's like you go to college, but stuff gets in the way, whether it's video games or whatnot, and then you have to work retail. And I'm guessing you probably didn't like it the same way that I didn't. Like, it's fine.
It's weird. Certain things I liked and certain things I didn't like. Because I worked mainly, I did a little bit of everything, but like the main things I was doing towards the end was grocery and dairy.
Oh, okay.
And I actually kind of like dairy. It's like, it's kind of quiet. You just kind of do your job, put things up.
Right, you're not dealing with customers, right? Like
as much, yeah.
That's what I hated. When I was working at Best Buy, you know, I was selling digital cameras. And this is in the early 2000s when digital cameras were still a thing, you know, or first were a thing. You know, cameras, people having separate cameras, not just on their phones, was kind of in vogue. I hated customers, man. I hated dealing with customers. I hated selling stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And then if I had stuck with dairy, I might still be in retail today. But like, because I would fill in for like managers, and like I would do the orders. Like my big thing was ordering. I felt like I was really good with numbers, so I was always like a math kind of guy. It just all kind of clicked. But then eventually I became an assistant manager, and that was fine too. But like then again, it was like, I was worrying about the whole store.
Yeah.
I'd have to deal with the customer stuff a bit more.
Yeah. And it's problems. When you deal with customers as a manager, or assistant manager, you're not dealing with them because you're trying to sell stuff. You're trying to clean up messes and that kind of stuff. That's usually, it makes it even worse.
Yeah. And then like, cause I worked at the, up in the north here in Jersey. It was, the main one back then was like, it's ShopRite's the main one, but like some other ones was Pathmark. And I worked for the A&P, Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company.
Okay.
And basically they weren't doing well, and eventually went bankrupt. So I basically just stuck with them till the end. And it was like, you know, if I get picked up by another store, or like, cause some of the A&Ps were bought, I'd be like, oh, I'll continue with them. And then if not, I'll do some unemployment and do something else. And you know, my store was one of the ones that getting picked up. So,
oh wow!
But
how long ago was that?
8 years ago, I guess.
Oh, okay. So it's not like anything recent that's happened.
Yeah, not recent,
okay.
But
okay.
But yeah, in that time, I was doing more PC gaming. Like nothing as hard. Like I still played WoW for a while, but I stopped around. I don't know, the one that like was Farmville, where you just log in every day and just do random Farmville stuff.
But, it's not as fun when it feels like you have to do it just to like keep up with it, right?
Yeah, it just eventually lost it, it lost its luster for me and
sure.
just moved on to other stuff. Like I was doing some other random games like Killing Floor 1 and 2. That's a great game. It's like a zombie shooter kind of game.
Okay.
It's got some really nice heavy music if you're into heavy metal kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that was good. I played.
Did
like
you stop Isaac. Playing Counter-Strike?
I stopped for a little bit and then I eventually picked it back up once CS:GO.
Okay.
Yeah. Once CS:GO came,
mm-hmm.
I was playing for a little bit. I did all right. Back when I had more money than I do now, I went like not on a crazy buying spree, but I was like, oh, this is a nice skin because the whole big thing is skins in that game. I basically like decked myself out in like decent skins and then
sure.
played a little bit of like the Counter-Strike matchmaking, got to not global elite, Eagle Master.
Okay.
The one when it's like the one where you get your wings or something that like has a bunch of wings.
Sure.
And then I was like, I got to a certain level and then like I was noticing it was just like it was like getting harder. Like everyone was getting really good. And
sure.
And also didn't have as many buddies to play with. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna probably put this down. And then probably around that time Overwatch came out.
Mm. Okay.
And then that was another shooter I played for a while. I still actually played on like Saturday nights with some of my old buddies.
Oh nice.
But yeah, I played that for a while. I got into the competitive aspect of that again. The matchmaking, a support tank main or whatever. It was pretty fun. And then it was like a similar thing. I think it was like two games away from Grandmaster as a healer. And then like I played this one game and it was like, you know how like sometimes like the level of play just like shoots up like sure. tenfold and you're yeah. like, what's going on? Like yeah. I felt like if I made a single mistake, I would die. I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't have as much time to play. So I was like, you know what, I enjoy the game, I'll still play, but like then I just a couple of years later I kind of just not gave it up, but I just like I was like I kind of lost the competitive drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, understandable for sure. Did you in any of this time follow along with maybe like GDQs or speedruns or get familiar with Twitch? I mean, I know by the time Overwatch is out you're probably familiar with Twitch, but do you remember when you first kind of were introduced to the idea of like watching other gamers play or do speedruns?
I think it was definitely around the end of like my CS:GO and Overwatch play. Yeah, because there was definitely like people like Summit and Shroud, like the popular Twitch streamers like I heard about through Counter-Strike and then like mm-hmm. professionals. And then, yeah, that's how I first like got into like watching. I don't know when I made an account, but it was definitely probably somewhere around that time and just like would watch certain people.
Was it was mostly the CS:GO and Overwatch stuff that you were watching?
Yeah, pretty much. And then
so how do you find Rando then?
Well, basically what happened was is once I stopped playing Overwatch, that's when I got into Rando. I was like, I was originally like, I need to do something else. I think I saw some like FF6 speedrun. I was like, oh, maybe I'll pick that up. Like I started learning that. And then I was like, oh, this looks cool, but it's like a 6-hour run. I don't know if I can like devote that much time.
That's a speed run that you have to really like devote yourself to because that's going to take some time. It's not like you can just sit down and like, oh, let me bust out 6 hours of my time or plus because you're learning, right? Like it's you're not going to get 6 hours right away. But
yeah. And then so basically in the span of like two months or so, I think like after that, I was like, you know, Mystic Quest. So I was like, oh, that was a fun game. Maybe I'll speed run that. And that was like a shorter one. That was like, I think it's only like two and a half hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like starting to learn that. I'd like break it up into like two sections, like do it one, like not a full run, but like learn to do half and half. And then that's basically how I guess like the YouTube algorithm got me. It was it wasn't like an Andy race, but it was I believe it was the Korek Mekon race, like 2017, oh, okay. 18, something like uh-huh. that. And then I was like, link to the past, Rando, what is this magic?
So before we get into Rando, because it's going to take a majority of our time for sure. What made you go from like CS:GO, like shooters to retro game speedruns? Like, let me try retro game. Because you done any speedrunning in the past before that?
Not really. Other than like, you know, maybe as a kid playing Super Metroid, like getting like the time down or another game I enjoyed was the Resident Evil series back then. Like mm-hmm. it was a similar concept, like where like if you beat it within like 2 hours or something, you get like an unlock
Right.
Like, you know, I had done a little bit of it back then, but I don't actually know. It was just basically I just needed something else. I was maybe getting tired of like competitive shooters and just like wanted something more chill.
Sure.
And I also didn't have as much time, I think, back then. So,
OK, makes sense. So you get the algorithm from YouTube, you see the race. Where do you go from there? Like, how do you introduce yourself into the rando scene?
I remember, I think of all, like, I was looking at my oldest download. I think it was actually on my birthday. I don't know why or how, but I basically downloaded a seed, started playing. I was like, wow, this is fun. A week later, I picked up Key Sanity and never looked back, apparently.
Okay. So how familiar are you with the game at this point? How long has it been since you've played Link to the Past? And are you using different tools online that you find or videos and content to like help you complete the seeds, or where are you at?
I don't know. I guess I was pretty comfortable between watching a couple things and like whatever I'd remembered as a kid, because mm-hmm. I think the first seed I did was like 2.5 hours or 3 Jeez. Hours, something like that.
Wow. That's impressive. Yeah.
Like I probably like watched like a video with like some gotchas or something, like the hookshot bonk or something. And then
sure. But were you playing like Link to the Past regularly, like once a year or every couple of years, or had it been, you know, a decade since you played it?
Probably a decade or so. I don't think I played that one as much. Like I wouldn't revisit that one as much as I would like some of the other ones, like I said, because, you know, the thing of like coming back, like, or like the completionist thing and like missing the one item. I liked it, but not as much as mm-hmm. some of the other games.
Sure. So you start playing seeds on your own. This is, you're not doing races. You're just playing. And this is 2018, you said?
2019 is when I started.
Okay.
And then basically playing casually for a while. And then what actually probably got me into the scene the most was they introduced that was the Bonta multi-world. The big blow up of multi-world where you could play mm-hmm. like a bunch of people in the main rando Discord.
Yeah.
And then that's basically where like the origins of like me playing a lot and like just, you know, because I'm also like I feel like I'm the kind of like game player where like I can't play multiple games. I'm like, I'm just going to focus on one or two things as much as I can.
Understandable. Same way. Yeah.
Yeah. And then just I was like, you know what? Like, I'm not going to like do anything crazy with, but, you know, I'm just going to keep playing this and, you know, see how good I can get and just enjoy the game or whatever. And then, yeah, the multi-world scene. Yeah, that's just where I met a lot of the people nowadays. Like, because like the main Discord had a bunch of people playing. But then eventually what happened is, I guess, like a couple of my buddies, my big server, or like it's like a quiet server, but the Vamps server. A bunch of people broke off and they were, I guess like they wanted to do their own thing kind of deal. And yeah, I got invited to that. And then like basically, you know, kept on doing multi-worlds and stuff with them and just slowly kept getting better and learning the game and stuff from them.
And so the multi-world stuff is just more casual, right? Are you guys doing races or is it just playing? Because when I think of multi-world, I think more casual. It doesn't necessarily mean it's true, but
yeah, like, you know, it's definitely casual, but like I could feel like I definitely felt like, yeah, you know, like while you're not competing with people, like, you know, I was playing with, you know, people like Haiku Type, PRD, Worf Jig, Tam, and like some of those people would, you know, it's a multi-world. So like sometimes you'd be glitching around. So like obviously like the people who are glitching around and know everything, like they'll get done a little quicker. But yeah, it was just interesting, like to see how fast I would like complete it compared to other people. And mm-hmm. yeah, and back then I was just like, this was like before ladder or anything, like because one of our buddies was Tam and I was just like, this fella is just, I could just like tell they were gonna be really good. I was just like, they're completing this so fast.
Yeah,
but like really good. And then yeah, because I know how like a lot of people, like, you know, they get into rando, they want to race, or like they want to like do their best. And for the longest time, my actual, I wasn't really focused on racing or winning. My only goal was to keep up with Tam. That's what I told myself. I was like,
that's a good goal.
This person's gonna be good. I could just tell. And I was just like, you know, I don't want to be the best or anything. I just want to keep up with this person. That was my goal, or I guess how I like went forward in my rando career.
That's awesome. That's a good way to start. Like, you know, the group that I play with, you know, the Gammas and the Shireens and the GGWs, it's like, again, trying to keep up with these people is so hard. I was doing a cross keys co-op today with Moogle, and I'm like, we need worse friends that we can play against so that we can actually win a race or make ourselves feel good about ourselves, because we're constantly losing to GGW and Gabba and Megawatt and all these guys that are like so good at the game.
Oh my God. Yeah. And like, I don't know if you've done any of the async ones, but
yeah,
I've been doing some with Vex because we're going to be doing the co-op thing together. And I'm like, I'm not expecting like to win some of these times, but like some of the times we're losing by, I'm just like, oh my God, what, dude, what's going on?
It's, co-op cross keys is tough, man. It's a whole new wrinkle. Like, even if you're good at cross keys, it's tough. But some of these teams are like, I mean, I see the times that Ramon team is putting up, and it's just like, I mean, that guy's incredible.
Oh my God, anyways, yeah.
It's like, geez, man, come on, give us a chance. So when do you start getting more competitive? When do you decide to, like, I'm going to try to start racing this?
I'm trying to think, what was the year before the year they skipped the main tournament for COVID?
2020 was the year they skipped.
Okay.
Yeah.
So probably 2019, it was around the time when I was like, maybe going to start racing, but not really. I remember I did, I think, one SRL race ever, like, because some of my buddies wanted to like try it out, because I think that's what they use for the 2019 races still, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember some of my buddies, like, you know, did the main tourney qualifiers, but I was just like, you know what? I'm not feeling it yet. I'm just, you know, keep learning, keep playing the game. And then I forget what year it was. Because I think my first one might have been a cross keys, maybe the 2020 cross keys.
Okay.
Because I think in 2019, I had like just started learning cross keys, and then they announced the tourney, and then I was like, nah, I can't do it yet. But then like a month later, I was like feeling comfortable with it. I'm like, oh man, maybe I should have joined.
Yeah. I feel like there's that you have this. And just listening to your story, it's like you're drawn to the social aspect of the game, like definitely getting good at and being competitive. But there's the social part of the game that's important to you, right?
Yeah, for sure. Because it's just, I don't know, just something about playing by yourself. It's fun, but it's just something about like talking about like the multi-world with people, or like talking about the race afterwards. It's so much more fun, I guess.
So that makes sense why you were drawn to League then too, right? Like it adds to that social aspect of racing.
Yeah, and it's just a little more competitive, I guess. And then and then over time, I just kind of kept going with it. At some point, you know, I was getting better, because I guess my whole thing is too, is like I don't want to be like really bad at something. Like I don't have to be amazing at it, but like I don't want to go in unless like I'm feeling confident, kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's just kind of how like it took me a while to get into the actual like racing and tournament stuff, which now it's like all I live for.
Are you joining like every tournament?
Maybe not everyone, but you know, the main ones like cross keys. It's so weird. I'm always like, I'll be like, I'm doing too many. I should take a break. But then like they announce one that like piques my interest, like the co-op cross keys now. And just like, I think the worst is in the summer, because it's the 2020 or 20, it was 22. I just remember like, I like casual. I was like, I'm not really a casual boots player, but like, you know, do a little bit more competition, I'll join. There was like a No Logic tournament. I'm like, I like No Logic. I'm not like a crazy glitch player, but
sure,
I'll do that. And then cross keys was announced. I was like, oh, I love cross keys. Sure.
Yeah.
And then there was also like the beginning of the NMG leagues. And so like I was in like four things at once, and I don't recommend that.
Yeah.
One or two.
Well, it's funny because like right now in January, we're about to hit January, and everyone announced their tournament at the same time. And it feels like there's like six or seven tournaments starting in January that, you know, I participated in announcing. But I remember planning my tournament, not really telling anyone, going like, yeah, this will be a good time. There's not a lot going on in January. And little did I know, everyone else is thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I think it's hard because like certain things like League or main tourney, like people maybe don't want to have something going around during the big ones. And then, you know, like I said, you know, people want to do smaller stuff or have ideas. And then, yeah, everyone's like, oh, it'll be quiet after the League. And nope, not anymore, I guess.
Yeah. Did you do like the mentor tournament or anything like that to try to help improve, or were you just relying on doing the multis and playing with your friends?
I had never done the mentor tournament. Okay. I believe I might have not heard of it the 1 year. And then like, by the time I knew it was a thing, I was like, you know, I'm probably, you know, versed enough where like, you know, it's more for people who like want to actually like
really learn
and get better. Like I'm well enough.
It's funny because I associate you with a lot of those guys because you guys all started playing or racing around the same time. You know, the Schuples and the Vortexes and stuff. And you guys all kind of started racing around the same time. And so I kind of associate you with a lot of those guys, even though you weren't a part of that group.
Well, like I was technically a part of that group, like because I saw like I guess I like seeing like new people learn and improve. So like while I was in my like low key safe space, not space, but like, you know, my like smaller area, I was also like, you know, branching out and I was like, oh, these are cool people. And then like helping or learning. And that was probably when I was like really starting to get into racing. So that's, you know, it makes sense why, you know, you probably associate me with that.
Mm-hmm. Did you face Andy in one of the main tournaments, like bracket stages early on?
The only time I ever played Andy was last year at SGL. In-person event.
Okay. So the only reason I think say that is I remember talking with Shireen and we were doing maybe bracket predictions in the for one of the main tournaments. This is years ago, and you were new on the scene. I remember seeing your name, and I just remember Shireen being like, "Watch out for Flip Hill. You got to watch out for Flip Hill." And I'm like, "Who's Flip Hill?" I remember thinking that, like, "There's no way." And then, of course, I think you did. You've done pretty well. Like you've made brackets, right? A couple times in the main tournaments.
Well, let's see. 2021 would be, I think, the first year because 20 was the COVID. That was the first year I ran the main tournament, okay. And I did make brackets that year.
Okay.
I went up against Chemo, and yeah, the one race I misread Ice Palace logic.
Oh man.
I was like, oh, so the boss is hookshot locked. And my hookshot was essentially on the boss.
Jeez.
So I lost that race, and then I just got wrecked the other race. So, but yeah.
So you've played in multiple tournaments. I mean, it sounds like when you started playing in 2019, did you wait to enter tournaments until like the 2020? You must have been playing in tournaments though, because season two of the league was in 2019. So
yeah, I guess towards the end of 2019 into 2020 is when I started doing some tourneys, and then probably like 2021 is where I started like getting really into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I loved 80 Keys. Was 80 Keys in 2020? Was there one in 2021?
Gosh, dude, all the years sort of like blend together now. It's so hard to distinguish which year had what.
You know what I mean? And then I was in the co-op one too, the one that you did a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, that was, gosh, that was like 2019, 2020 as well. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Who did you team up for that with?
I was with Iker back then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How did you and Iker meet? Because you guys have been teammates the entire time.
Basically, he was one of the people from the multi-world crew. And then, yeah, we've just been buddies the whole time. And like you said, between league and everything else, SGL being roommates last year, we just, you know, been bonding and we're, you know.
I mean, he's such a good guy. Like I got to meet him this year at SGL, and just it's hard not to like that guy. Like, he's just such a good dude. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, he's super nice guy. Like this year, he surprised me. He brought not only like, cause I asked him, cause he's a huge Sanderson fan and my girlfriend's into it. Like there was this like Nightblood, letter opener. I was like asking him about it, like to buy one for her. And then he just like shows up and he's like, here, you know, you can give this to her for a present. And then also he brought me like this small, tiny piranha plant for me to like have on display while I was racing. It was just,
that's awesome.
He's great.
That's a good dude. So you've been racing with him for a couple of years. You said you went to SGL last year. That was your first year. You didn't go I'm guessing you probably didn't go the first year, which would be in 2019, I guess.
Still
pretty new
to the scene and stuff, but 2021, it was spur of the moment. Iker was like, he was just like, yeah, I'm going. And then like I was like, you know what, I have a week of vacation I can use. I'm like thinking about it, and I'm like a couple of days later I'm like, you want a roommate?
That's awesome.
Yeah, now that was so much fun. I know you went this year. It's such a good time over there.
Tell me about your experience at SGL. You haven't done any GDQs, right? So this is like your only in-person sort of event with the rando people.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it was so good. I remember driving, you know, it was like about 4 hour drive for me. I get there, I'm outside waiting for Iker, I think, or something. And then it was just like Drossi and Maniacal show up with beer and they're like, hey, who wants to like share and drink some beer? And I was just like, this community is awesome. I'm going to have fun here.
Yeah.
And
did
then
you
play
in the tournament this year. You did, right? Like you did pretty well, in fact, from what I remember.
Let's see. 2021, I did really well. I think I made top eight in the ALTTP. And then this year, I didn't do as well in the ALTTP, but I did make top eight in the SMZ3.
Oh, okay. When did you get involved with SMZ3? When did that happen? Was that in between your multi-worlds and tournaments decided like, hey, let's throw some Super Metroid in there as well?
Yeah, I think just over time, because like some of the people over there like Super Metroid and Zelda, the combo rando, and I didn't like take it super. It was just like, it was one of those things like, oh, I'll have fun with it, play. And then just over time, I guess, like, you know, I got maybe a little bit more competitive at it, learn the speed run and stuff, because that game is like, it's really fun. But if you're not as fast at Super Metroid as you are in Zelda, it can feel like a slog sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way that rando is, it's like if you like, you know, in Zelda, sometimes you last locate like, oh, you're, you know, 10, 15 minutes to a seed, right? You last locate in SMZ3. Sometimes you're adding like a half hour to a seed. So it's just being able to have an eight, like, you know, decent movement in that game helps a ton.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I started playing it, but Baldur's Gate just keeps getting in the way.
No, I was just going to say, because I know Gamble was, you know, getting really good at it. Is he asking you to play, getting you into it?
No, I'm just trying to play the vanilla game. Like, I've never finished Super Metroid on its own. So I was just trying to play that. I started playing it on stream a couple weeks back, but then again, Baldur's Gate kind of got in the way. So I haven't been doing that. So with the community that you've built or are a part of and where rando is, how do you feel about where you stand within the community and your enjoyment of the game as it is right now?
I think it's great. It's always weird at the end of the tournament season. Like, yeah, I've played so many tournaments. I'm like, should I take a step back? It's also, I've always thought about this too. Like, is there a rando lifetime? Cause I feel like a lot of people from like what, the 2017 era, like some people still play, but like, you know, maybe not as much, I guess. Yeah. And like, I don't know, I'm going on, this will be year five. And it's like, I enjoy it. I'm still having fun, but I'm just like, is there like a time limit? Like how much more do I have left? Or, but,
yeah, I think each individual has to answer that for themselves. Right. Like I feel like I got to the point where I just wasn't enjoying it as much as I was in the past. And so I've limited the amount of how much I play now. And to my detriment, I'm not as good, but I think I almost enjoy it more now than I did ever, because it is, you know, I'm not getting tilted out of my mind anymore. And I think other people like to find other games that kind of, or they build a community and those, you know, start playing other games there or whatever. But like, you know, Gamma has been playing as long as I have, and I don't think he's going anywhere. And, you know, Relkin still plays a lot. And I think everyone just has their own kind of like lifespan with rando.
Yeah. And like, I'm not going anywhere, but I think it helps too. Like, you know, over time I've grown into the speed run, you know, so like, I'm not just doing rando, always trying to bring that down.
Yeah.
I postponed last year. I was trying to get the 124, but main tournament into cross keys kind of killed that. But I'm going to try to maybe bring it back this year.
You have a 125?
Yeah, I actually, a couple weeks ago, I got a 125.19.
Wow, that's awesome.
So it's like it's within reach. It's just a matter of like fine tuning a little more and then like not going crazy, I guess.
Mm-hmm. What made you want to dip into NMG? Was it trying to like, I want to clean up execution, or was it just something completely different? Like, because NMG and rando are so different. Like, you can be really good at NMG and not be good at rando, and you can be really good at a rando and have no NMG time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's the same game, but it's not really.
It came in waves over time. Like, I remember the first time I got into it was like around when like Scruple and Vortex and McMonkey were like grinding it. And I was like, you know what, this is pretty cool. I'll put in some work. Excuse me. So like I put in like, I don't know, like 2 months of work or something, and brought it from like a 135 to a, like the sub 130. I was like, oh, that's pretty fun. You know, I put it on the shelf, maybe like practice for tournaments and stuff. And then I came back a little later. It's like, you know, I'll play it a little more. I got like a 128.43. And then I just remember it was actually it was after one of the mentor tournaments, Vexifer. They talk about his first rando time was like 6 hours, and then like he put in work into the speed run, and then like he gets like a 130 like pretty fast. And I'm just like, you know, he's got like within a minute of my time, and I've been playing this game for like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, and he got it within like, I don't know, like a couple months.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I need to fix this. I need a better time. And then I just took 2 weeks. I was like, you know, I'm just gonna practice rooms, certain things here, and then I'll come back to the run. I remember like learning all 16 Pokies RNGs for Turtle Rock.
Oh, wow.
Like a bunch of other stuff. And then, yeah, I don't know, somewhere in along that time, I hit a 127, and then just like, it just started getting fun. I don't know, just something about like, it's not so much, it's just like learning how to do each room properly. It's just so fun. Like there's so much to learn in each room of the game. It sounds stupid, but.
No, man. I mean, I don't get it, but I'm glad that you do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have that drive to want to like try to find how to be better in every room. But what makes you and the runners that do NMG well is that love for it, right? Like, that's cool.
Yeah. And you know, like I tell people, it's like you don't have to be as crazy as like, or go as hard as like me or like some of the other top runners. But like, yeah, if you just learn like just not like, you know, not like fine tune the edges, but just like what's the way to do this room properly, even if you don't grind it, just like to know. And just, yeah, it just goes a long way.
For sure. For sure. All right. I've taken up so much of your time, dude. Thanks so much for doing this. Before we head out, though, we do got to talk about Tilt. And I've seen you race a lot these last few years, especially because I feel like we've played each other a bunch of times in the league. And You've beat Zelga enough times for me to curse you out on the show. So I've definitely watched you
do. Sorry for ruining all your predictions.
What the hell, man? But do you get tilted? I feel like you're such an even keeled, sort of like level headed, kind of take it all in stride kind of dude. Do you get tilted? And when you do, how do you
get tilted sometimes? It's I don't know. It's tricky. It's like, I don't necessarily, I get mad if like some decision I make spirals out of control. Like there was one cross keys race in the bracket. I think it was versus what's his name? I'm going to forget his name, but basically I died in the back of like Spike Cave, which was at Skull Woods. So I was like, terrible. Okay, I'm going to make up some time. I'm going to skip Purple Chest. Purple Chest was like this 5-item chain to lead to your boots and like one other item for go mode.
Of course. Yeah.
And like, I was so mad. Like I couldn't even talk. Like once I lost, I was like, I'm not mad at my opponent. I'm so mad that this led to this. And I'm like losing by like 20 plus minutes. Like I forfeit, but
sure.
Like yeah. It just happens. I don't know. Yeah, just I mean, like
everyone things does get tilted, right? But so how do you approach it? Do you let it like fester, or do you feel like you're able to let it go pretty easily?
I think in general, I'm able to let it go. I think what helps a lot too is like knowing before you go into the race how it's going to be. Like, you know, let's say you have like a bad work day or you don't get much sleep. Like, you have to be like, all right, this may not go as well as I want. You know, the day didn't happen. It's like small things like that matter a lot in your race before it even happens. And like if you know it might go a bit wrong, or like, all right, this person has an edge on me, but like we're just gonna play our game, like having a good mentality before you go into the race I think helps a lot.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. That's awesome, man. Well, thanks for kicking off season 5. This is I'm hoping to have a really good season, and you know.
Oh, I didn't even know it was going to be the opener. Wow.
yeah, you're kicking it off, man. Right in the, I didn't want to tell you beforehand, make you feel any more pressure, but it was cool to get a chance to meet you. I mean, this is the first episode I've done since meeting people at SGL, and I didn't know who all was going to be there, but I remember like, hey, there's Flip Hill. I got to say hi to him.
I got to interact with you a little bit. I wish we could have done more, but I remember the one morning I was the night before I got like no sleep or something. I came to breakfast. I ate like half of a meal and I just like walked away. I was like, bye everybody. I'm sorry.
It happens, man. It happens. But yeah, thanks so much for coming on the show and doing this and kicking this whole season off, man. I really appreciate it. I've been cursing you out for so long. And again, for all those different times you've beaten Zelgar or someone that I was predicted to beat you. No more. All my predictions are going through Flip Hill from now on.
Oh, man. Again, thanks for having me. This is great. It was so much fun. Sorry I had to ruin some stuff. Beat you, but, you'll come back stronger next year.
I have to.
Gamma wrecked me in, like, four other tournaments, so it felt a little bit relieving to at least kick him out of one more. So.
For sure. All right, man.
But thank you so much.
All right, huge shout-outs again to Flip Hill for coming on the show. Really appreciate him kicking off the season. Really excited about Season 5. Going to try to do some things that are a little bit different. Got a draft episode coming up. I'm going to be talking to people that I met either at Speed Gaming Live or, I'm going to try to get people that are maybe a little bit more, I don't want to say obscure, but maybe not known for winning big tournaments. Like, that's a lot of people with big names have been on the show, and I really appreciate that. The Andes and the Danties and the Gammas and the GGWs, the people that have won stuff, and everyone kind of knows their name. It's always fun to talk to those people. But I'm going to try to talk to people that you might not have heard of or haven't won anything yet. Maybe they're newer to the community. Maybe they're a little bit more quiet and not making every opinion that they have known publicly. That's my plan for Season 5, is to kind of have people that are maybe a little less well-known. We'll have a couple big names here and there like Flip Hill, but, going to mix it up. So, next person on the show is going to be Norris Kmati. Again, someone that I met at SGL and found out that they live near me in the state of Washington. And we had a lot of stuff to talk about because we're both sports fans, both Husky fans. Huskies are about to play Texas in the college playoffs. And I know that we're both rooting for them to go far. I'm pretty sure that's his alma mater. So we chatted a bunch at SGL. We actually were on the same flight home, so that was pretty cool. So we chatted a bit more in the airport. And next episode, I'm going to get a chance to talk with him and learn a little bit more about his story and how he got into Rando and all that kind of stuff. I'm not sure if the show will be weekly, but shows will be coming out. So check that out. Norse Commandy next time. I got a draft coming up. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then we're off and away for season number 5. Thanks so much for hanging out. Really appreciate you listening to the show. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. 216pod.com has the links to the show. And the Discord. Discord is the place to be, especially if we're with the tournament going on and all the different sports stuff happening. We're in the middle of basketball season. Plus, we're football are about to start. We're in the college football finals. Hockey is alive and well and kicking. Lots of stuff going on in the sports world. The Mariners have blown up their team. Otani signed for almost $1 billion with the Dodgers. Lots of stuff happening, and you want to chat about it over in the 216 Discord. So 216pod.com has a link. So again, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and that's going to do it. So thanks for hanging in with me. See you next time.